Today, the Brazilian president flouts social distancing rules as COVID starts to spread through South America.
So every night, like clockwork, at 8:30, everything shrouded in darkness, yellow lights on in people's apartment blocks. You can see there's the silhouettes of people coming to their windows. As Bolsonaro was there on the television, giving his address to the nation, you suddenly start hearing people banging their pots and pans or whatever bit of metal they can grab, leaning out of their windows or off their balconies and shouting, Fora Bolsonaro! Fora Bolsonaro! You know, get out Bolsonaro! Get out Bolsonaro! You hear a few people shouting back, Nito, which is his sort of nickname among the supporters, legend. But what has really surprised me is that even in the district of Rio I currently am in, which voted really heavily for Bolsonaro, even here I can hear it.
The people of Brazil may be confined to their homes, as we are here, but that's not stopping them from turning up to protest. As The Guardian's Latin America correspondent Tom Phillips can hear from his window in Rio de Janeiro, the anger at the country's president is getting louder. Jair Bolsonaro's flagrant disregard for lockdown measures laid down by state governors comes as the number of COVID cases continue to rise. And in South America, it's not just Brazil that is grappling with the scale of this virus.
We seem to be a few weeks behind Europe here, and South American governments have had the benefit of a few weeks to try and get these lockdowns in place because of what they've seen coming their way. But even so, I don't think the next few weeks look good.
From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, COVID's continued spread into South America. Tom, you're currently in Rio. Why are you there?
So I was on holiday here with my family. My wife is Brazilian and we were visiting her parents in Rio with our son when this all began in early March. And now 90% of flights have been cancelled in South America and we are unable to get home.
What lockdown measures have been imposed in the city?
So most Brazilian states, and Rio State is one of them, are now under sort of partial lockdown, which means that the governor here in Rio is asking people not to go outside unless absolutely necessary, certainly not to go to the beach. Only key workers are allowed out. There is now a requirement by the mayor to use masks, and the land borders are closed, so you can't drive to São Paulo or Belo Horizonte or nearby cities anymore.
But as we heard, people are still finding ways to protest against Bolsonaro. What are they getting angry about?
The immediate drive of the protests has been his a pretty astonishing reaction to coronavirus and its arrival in Brazil. Ever since the end of February, when the first case was detected here, he has repeatedly tried to downplay coronavirus's threat and then to undermine guidelines being put in place by his health ministry. He's described it as media hysteria, as a political trick. He's called coronavirus resfriadinho, a bit of a cold.
Despite his health ministry's recommendation that he isolate himself after being exposed to infected officials, President Jair Bolsonaro fist-bumped and took selfies at a rally on Sunday.
In mid-March, when most cities were starting to go into lockdown, he started egging on and actually attended anti-congressional protests in Brasilia outside his palace. One Brazilian newspaper that calculated, after he'd been mingling and fist-bumping with the crowd, that Bolsonaro had had direct contact with 272 different people, had handled 128 mobile phones that were given to him by people in the crowd to try and take selfies. And also in the background is the fact that Bolsonaro, many of his top officials, went to Mar-a-Lago in Florida to meet with Donald Trump in early March.
We had dinner together in Florida with the entire delegation. We sat next to each other for a period of time, had a great conversation.
And subsequently, more than 20 people on that delegation, including some really, really big figures in the Brazilian government, have tested positive for COVID. And Bolsonaro has refused and refuses to this day to publish his results. So there is a suspicion amongst many Brazilians, we don't know whether there's a basis for it, that Bolsonaro was at some point actually infected with the coronavirus and yet still has been out mingling, so actually directly putting Brazilian lives at risk.
So what, he basically may have immunity and is encouraging other people to take the risk of coming out?
That's what a lot of people think.
Did he disappear from view after that trip?
I don't think he disappeared from view. I mean, lots of people on social media sort of put photographs of him coughing during his Facebook Lives. And, you know, on Sunday, again, he was out and he was splattering all over the place. I mean, frankly, who knows? What we do know is that Brazil's lower house has given him a 30-day deadline to produce those test results. Either way, you know, his reaction to this has made people really, really angry because they think it is undermining the health ministry's efforts to try and control something that could potentially be devastating for Brazil.
But he is the president. Why is it that he doesn't have the power to ease the lockdown if he doesn't agree with it?
So what we have seen over the last few weeks is not something we've seen in decades of Brazilian politics, a remarkable rebellion by the governors of Brazil's 27 states. So nearly all of them have decided to introduce social distancing, isolation, what they're calling quarantena, closing their borders, closing businesses, closing shopping centres. They're doing that. And there's frankly not a lot that Bolsonaro can do about it. It's not clear to me whether he actually wants to do away with these lockdowns, but he certainly wants to be seen to be opposing them, because his shtick at the moment is to present himself as a champion of Brazil's impoverished workers who is trying to get the economy working. Because obviously, even before the coronavirus has caused a massive public health crisis here, which we think is coming, it is having a massive economic impact on Brazil and other parts of Latin America.
The other way to help those people is to do massive economic measures. Are they doing them in Brazil?
So after much kicking and screaming and pushing from Brazil's opposition, the government has started offering sort of a benefit payment of 600 reais, which is about £60.
60 per month?
Yeah, for 3 months.
There's obviously a lot of people protesting what Bolsonaro is doing, but he's got widespread support as well. Are his actions encouraging people to break the lockdown rules?
We've not seen many scientific studies, but anecdotally, I can tell you, and I know other people who are here can tell you this, from my balcony here in Rio, it's very, very obvious that every single time Bolsonaro goes on television to make a declaration undermining social distancing, the number of people and the number of vehicles we see on the streets goes up.
And how much is it affecting your life?
I think we all just feel very worried about what is coming down the line. We watch sort of critical coverage in the British media of Boris Johnson's handling of the coronavirus. And I'm certain there are real, real big questions to be asked of Boris Johnson and what the people around him have been doing to prepare for this. From my seat in Rio, Boris Johnson's response to this looks like a picture of professionalism. I've got to say, when you've got a Brazilian president being filmed wiping his nose on his hand and then grabbing an elderly woman's hand seconds later to shake it, you know, it's baffling and it's really, really worrying. And we just see more and more people on the streets. And, you know, my family is Brazilian. My wife's Brazilian. My son, who is here, is Brazilian. My parents-in-law are elderly Brazilians. And I think we all here just feel a great sense of trepidation that in a couple of weeks' time, with the death toll rising, we're worried about what is coming.
You must have been speaking to people in politics. I mean, what are opposition politicians saying?
So the coronavirus has already sparked a massive political storm here in Brazil. And I've been seeking out politicians from across the spectrum to try and work out what they plan to do about it. And one of those I looked up was probably one of the biggest figures in Latin American politics in the last half century, Brazil's former president Lula, who was president from 2003 and 2010.
Bom dia, presidente. Tudo bem com o senhor?
And I gave him a call last week. He's in lockdown in the interior of São Paulo state to see what he made of what was going on.
What did he say?
He's angry. He is worried. He used very, very, very strong and quite shocking language. And said if Bolsonaro continued to lead Brazil towards a slaughterhouse, which is what he thinks Bolsonaro is doing now, then the opposition will start to push for his impeachment. And his main worry is that several of Brazil's big cities are now heading for a situation like that which has been playing out in Ecuador.
What's happening in Ecuador?
So far, the most shocking story that we have seen, beyond the shadow of doubt, in South America has been and Ecuador's biggest city, Guayaquil. It's a big port city on the Pacific coast of South America, very, very hot. I guess this came to our attention towards the end of March. We started getting reports of bodies being dumped on street corners and on the pavement, and people having to store the corpses of their deceased loved ones in their homes. There has clearly been, over the last few weeks, a complete breakdown in the hospital system, in the mortuary system, brought on by COVID-19. There was one local journalist who I got in touch with who was publishing on her Twitter feed a list of names and contacts of families in this city who had bodies in their houses and they needed help. They were sort of crying out for help. And just in a few days, she published dozens of names of families. It was almost unbelievable. And so I got in touch with one of these families and ended up talking to Eduardo Barizueta. And he had, by the time we spoke, had the dead body of his father on his sitting room floor for 4 days because there was simply no one to come and pick it up. Yeah, unbelievable, unbelievable. I mean, outside major natural disasters, I've never seen or heard of anything like it.
What did Eduardo say to you?
Well, he was...
He must have been desperate.
Yeah, he was really desperate. He had made a video on his cell phone that he was trying to sort of spread on social media. At one point in the video, he gets down onto his knees beside the coffin and just begs for help.
Necesito que me ayuden, por favor, le pido de rodillas que me vengan a ayudar. Eso es todo, ojalá que me ayuden, gracias.
So, it was awful talking to him because he was just desperate to get his message out and to get someone to come and help him, not even to be able to bury his father, but just to get him out of the house. He was saying, you know, I've got young kids, he had a couple of babies, he'd had to send them off somewhere else to stay with relatives because he feared his whole family was getting infected.
I mean, I was going to say, if you're crouching next to a corpse that may have died because of coronavirus, it's incredibly infectious.
Yeah, and I mean, the worst thing was that this is not just one person in one family. This was obviously happening right across the city. Now, the official figures we have at the moment are that 474 people have died in Ecuador because of COVID-19 and that they've registered about 10,000 cases. But those figures are obviously just a drop in the ocean. And we've heard in the last few days that in the province around Guayaquil, since the beginning of March, there have been at least 10,000 deaths recorded. Normally, the number would be about 3,000 in that period of time. So you can see we are talking potentially about thousands of people who have lost their lives.
I mean, why Guayaquil? Is there any particular reason why it's become such a hotspot?
One of the main reasons seems to be that Spain is home to a huge Ecuadorian migrant community, more than 400,000 people, and there is a great deal of air traffic between Spain and Ecuador, and particularly Guayaquil. And the first COVID-19 case that the country recorded was a 71-year-old woman who flew back to Guayaquil from Madrid halfway through February and then seems to have gone into a series of parties with family and friends and passed it on. People don't seem to have obeyed the quarantine in that city, and it just seems to have spread really, really quickly and overwhelmed the health service. I mean, just the images are unbelievable. Huge queues outside cemeteries for people to bury their dead, and the town hall handing out cardboard coffins because there aren't any wooden ones left. So it's appalling. It's really, really shocking.
How have the authorities responded?
So the government there have obviously been scrambling to get a handle on a situation that seems completely out of control. And we've heard in the last few weeks that they've set up this task force going around trying to collect the bodies, first of all, from the streets. We've heard of the government now setting up a special WhatsApp and telephone hotline for people who've got bodies at home to report them to the government and building new cemeteries in which to bury the dead. But anyone who knows South America would tell you this could happen anywhere here.
I mean, one of the things that I think perhaps raised a little bit of hope early on in this pandemic was the idea that maybe, just maybe, COVID-19 wouldn't spread as quickly in hot countries and perhaps not as quickly in countries with younger populations. But hasn't Ecuador got both of those things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was a theory that we heard touted here in Brazil at the beginning of this crisis by Bolsonaro supporters. Well, Guayaquil, I think, starts to give the lie to those claims, as does what we are now seeing in different parts of Brazil. So in Manaus, one of the biggest cities in the Amazon, we're now seeing what looks like a move towards a kind of Guayaquil type situation, with hospitals completely overwhelmed and cemeteries overwhelmed. There are big worries about what is happening in Fortaleza, which is a very hot city in northeast Brazil.
And if that's already happening in Ecuador and starting to happen in Brazil, what does it mean for a country that you and I have discussed on the podcast many times, Venezuela? Do you know what's happening there?
Well, that's right. I mean, it's really hard to get a good picture of what is going on anywhere because none of the figures we're seeing are reliable. So in Venezuela, the official number of cases so far is really, really small. It's something like 250, 256. And we've had 9 deaths reported. You know, it's possible that because, for example, Venezuela was so isolated from the rest of the world because of its economic collapse, so there were very few planes actually coming into Venezuela from anywhere in the world. It's possible that that has helped insulate it a little bit from what is happening.
Caracas, La Guaira, Miranda.
And Nicolas Maduro, Venezuela's authoritarian leader, took pretty early steps to lock the country down in a bid to control it.
De cuarentena colectiva, de cuarentena social.
But I was last in Venezuela in January visiting hospitals there in one of its less developed regions. Many hospitals don't even have access to water to wash their hands. There are something like 80 intensive care beds in a country with a population of about 25 million people. It is just awful to think what might happen there if it does start to spread. I mean, the doctor I spoke to, who I had met in January, we spoke last week, and I asked if they'd seen any COVID-19 cases. And they said not yet. They'd heard of 2 in a nearby city, but none where they are. But that the doctor had absolutely no doubt that it was just a matter of time before they did see those cases. And we exchanged a few messages. And the last one I sent was, are you prepared? Do you have enough PPE? And the doctor didn't respond. And I, the sense I got was the reason that they didn't respond was because they probably thought it was a completely bloody stupid question. Because of course they don't.
Coming up, the potential cost of Bolsonaro's gamble. But first, I want to thank you so much for all your support for Today in Focus. We love reading your reviews. During this time, trusted news is more important than ever before, and you can find it across The Guardian. If you can, then please consider supporting us. Go to theguardian.com/support. Those are 3 really worrying situations in 3 countries. I mean, but this is clearly a worry for the whole of South America. What are people thinking about right now?
I think people in many places are dealing with sort of immediate financial, economic realities of what is happening. In Colombia, we're seeing in poor communities people hanging red pieces of cloth and flags outside of their windows because they've got no food. In Argentina, we're seeing people who live in the favelas really, really struggling because they've got no way of going out to work anymore. We've seen stories from Peru.
Se han bautizado como los caminantes y son decenas de personas que intentan regresar a pie, a como el lugar.
Of workers trying to break quarantine, lockdowns, and flee from Lima to their rural homes because there's just no way to cope in the cities.
Dormimos en el piso. No comemos ya.
So even before the public health crisis, we've got a massive economic crisis all across Latin America.
I mean, where you're sitting, people have watched COVID-19 hit China. They've watched it spread through Asia. They've watched the centre of this pandemic move to Europe and then on to the US. They must be really fearing the fact that the numbers are now rising. And as you say, they've already been suffering because of the economic impact of the lockdown measures. If I just bring it back to Brazil, is that why Bolsonaro is doing this? Because of the economic collapse that they are fearing?
I think one pretty good explanation for what Bolsonaro is doing is that he is taking a very cold political calculation. That is, if the coronavirus wrecks Brazil's economy, it also wrecks his chances of re-election in 2022. And therefore, he is going to try and resist these lockdowns, or at least pretend he's trying to resist them, so that he can, as one analyst here put it to me this week, throw the crisis and throw the corpses onto the laps of the regional governors and blame it on them and try and come out of this looking like the champion of the poor.
Do you think that Brazil is ready for the kind of scenes you've already described in Ecuador?
No, not at all. And I think particularly worrying here in Brazil and in other parts of South America is what happens when it starts to spread into the poorer communities, which is now happening. So in many Latin American countries, Brazil being a very good example, the coronavirus was imported mostly by upper middle class, globe-trotting Brazilians who'd gone off on February carnival holidays to Europe, flew in and brought it with them. Now it's starting to move into the favelas, where people sometimes don't have access to water or hand sanitizer. They can't stay at home because they need to provide for their families. And often they live in very, very small houses with multiple generations of a family, 10 people crowded into three or four rooms. We're starting to see now people dying in those places. And we could start to see unrest and a turn against Bolsonaro on the streets here, which some people think would help pave the way for an impeachment.
Bolsonaro faz live com evangélicos e diz que coronavírus está indo embora do Brasil.
And he's even insisted in the last few days that this whole question of coronavirus seems to be going away.
Parece que está começando a ir embora a questão do vírus.
And yet every day we see the official figures of deaths and infections are going up, 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 up. It's really worrying.
Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Tom Phillips, writing about the spread of COVID-19 across South America from Rio, where he is stuck because he can't get home to Mexico City. Do read his reporting, excellent as ever, on the website. There's also lots of coverage of what Donald Trump is saying in the US and the impact it has, of testing rates here in Britain, and of the health and economic impacts of COVID across the world. Plus, there's lots of non-COVID reporting too. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Rose Dell'Arabiti. Sound design was by Ian Chambers. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.